Thank you. Thank you very much. I would not say purely a case study, but it has behind the scene lot of work that I have gone through. So based on the experiences that I have looked through, and one of the other parts of the experiences that Sandy that we have established, which is South Asian Network for Development Environmental Economics. That's a network that we have been running for the last 10 years. It's a formal, informal organization. And based on those experiences, the way I have started looking at the higher education, I would like to go through. And maybe we'll provoke some discussion that will be my ultimate objective. I think from the morning we have learned quite a lot of issues. We all know it. We all know this is August gathering here. Higher education starts in most cases school leavers. That's where the beginning of higher education. And it has been, as it is today, divided into graduate, undergraduate, and professional education. Their sole purpose, to my understanding, has three major purposes. One was creation of new knowledge. In the morning we have discussed a lot. That is one of the purposes of higher education. The second one, application of that knowledge, and that is the other group of people who are interested in. And the third and most important one is eventually it's supposed to lead to better welfare of humankind. That is the whole ultimate objective of higher education. Given this, if I look how to pursue knowledge, knowledge to me, and this is something that is I always talk about nonsense and common sense. To me, the sense governed by knowledge is common sense. The sense governed by no knowledge is nonsense. And this is what we fight in any society between common sense and nonsense. But it has gone through an evolution over time. I think the earliest education was from Guru, the Indian system that we all know, Guru Shishya, the word itself has established in English now. Another source of knowledge was right from the God, and we have Sufis and others coming up from different religious sides. That's another source of knowledge. Religious sources were another source of knowledge. It was also pursued from formal and informal institutions, not just formal. Formal institutions is what we are. Also from the societies and communities, from reading books. And knowledge could also be looked at from hearsay and stories. I'm giving all this background so that we understand that when we're going to higher education, it's the knowledge we're talking about, and that's how we should understand the diversity of its sources. And I think quest for knowledge, as it goes on, has two fundamental reasons individually. One, individuals want to increase their own ability, and that is where the knowledge becomes one of the fundamental rights. People have been discussing education as a fundamental right because that's how we want to equate or make more equalized society. Knowledge becomes a source of prosperity for individuals. Now the question is where institutional comes and how do I pursue this? And in terms of the history, a little bit of history so that we understand how it has gone, and because the new knowledge that we have to go and the way we have to organize, to me, is a new idea that we have to think about. Academic discipline used to be there was no separation. Earlier education was not separated the way we all know it. I'm just rephrasing it so that we look into it. It was based on individual to individual. That was the original way knowledge was supposed to be pursued. Then early innovations were all guided by ingenious individuals. Many discoveries and innovation happened in the society. Individual ingenuity. Not created, but then we started to institutionalize in creating knowledge. But then societies, every society in the world, started to organize their knowledge into an ownership. So many societies created relationships, social structures, so that the knowledge remained confined within them. That was a science that pursued for many years. If you go to the history of knowledge that traveled from China to Europe, you can see some of these. In other words, communities, even in India, Bangladesh, communities confined their knowledge of craftsmanship. They did not want to even go for cross marriage of another caste because to confine knowledge, to protect knowledge. That was how people pursued knowledge. And the knowledge transfer was only through indoctrination of faith to the community, that this is like belong to the communities. Many societies, for example, I know fishing communities in many parts of India and Bangladesh do not marry their girls into another communities in order to protect that knowledge. So the knowledge ownership was a bone of contention for many people. As I said, the guru was the early model. Religious schools came next. That was how higher education was pursued. But by 13th century, we started discipline-based knowledge. Theology, medicine, law, and arts are the first source separation of knowledge. And that knowledge in 19th century is what we have been pursuing. I was discussing with few of my friends, and they said in Bangladesh, I'm pretty sure it has other places, that education of the 20th century, the teachers of the 21st century, that's for the need for education, the teacher of the 20th century, and the guardians in the 19th century. So there's a significant gap, how to pursue knowledge, how to push knowledge forward. And as I said, but then 20th century education knowledge has a complete shift from this traditional discipline. Discipline education completely changed as soft areas, and that's what we have seen discussion this morning. Music entered into, used to be again Guru Shishya, but now it has formalized knowledge, it has entered. People have thought about science and psychology was a new addition in the 20th century. Media studies, business studies, craftsmanship, physiotherapy, military strategies, some of the things that people previously never understood as a knowledge, left it at the other side, started to integrate with knowledge. And knowledge become more interdisciplinary, multidisciplinary in nature, more integrated in nature. So that is how knowledge changed in the 20th century. And if you go to the demand for knowledge, individuals have demand for knowledge, communities have demand for knowledge, so everyone pursued differently. Individuals demand, they want to specialize, they want to, some of them want to benefit the society, that's how they look at it. Someone wants knowledge for spiritual needs, these are all part of the knowledge. Someone wants to secure a job, and all these are not necessarily into one person. Different person wants different way to pursue knowledge, and that is what they're looking for. Community also wants knowledge and pursuit of education, not for maintenance of peace, because that's good, better understanding, reducing conflict in the society. Support community needs, develop a spirit of a community feeling, and ensure prosperity and accomplish other tasks of the society. These are the, we all know it. The other way, and this is discussed, already discussed in the morning, that if you look carefully, the job market started changing. As it expanded, initially was within the communities, then the job started to become national, and from nations, now it is more of a regions and globe. At one time, education means government jobs, at least in South Asia, now it has moved out of government jobs. Education requires other people looking for different types of jobs. Nature of works, that is something else, started, again became more integrated rather than separated by discipline. So a person working for me like in economics, not necessarily in economics, many other things we have to do. So we have to think carefully that how do I give all of these to a person who is interested in education. We also see a globalization of increasing mobility of the people across boundaries. That is something else that is happening, and is going to, I will come back on this one. So the future job market is completely changing, that we all understand. So we need to craft a new supply mix. How do I supply this education? As I said, as demand for education changed from 1920 to the new educational needs, it requires a recrafting of it. But at the same time, educational system in all South Asian countries has different needs, different national aspirations there. So every society, every country, in other words, everyone we want history, culture, science and technology embedded in our educational system. These are the national aspirations. But at the same time, we don't see a lot of discoveries and innovation from the South Asian countries. In other words, if you look at the global patent rights, we will not see a significant number of patents coming from South Asia. And those who are coming, Chinese and Indian origins, are mostly in the West, living in the West. So within the homegrown patenting, you don't see that happening. Discussion in the morning happened in terms of the innovation and particularly looking at the needs of user rights, use of the knowledge. And other national aspiration is that national education has its own objective, which is to, in other words, to expand the boundaries not only within the region, but across the regionals, between different regions, between provinces. That has to be equalized. So what happened? Over time, mostly South Asia, education system, little research, we have discussed it, mostly based on lectures and exams, and we all know it. It's nothing new there. Our national goals mostly between center and outside the country's regions. How do I equalize them, harmonize them? Reduce poverty, and that is how universal access to education became an important issue. And integrate national identities through knowledge, cultures, and history. This is what knowledge every country has been doing within the region. And this was done through a strategy. The strategy was using national standards. National standards means creating a fixed standards. And I would say, I'm not against the standard, but the fixed standard reduces innovation and diversity of education. Education demand is completely changing, but it started reducing this. And degrees often become a tick box rather than learning. The learning objective has changed. If you go back to the history of knowledge, even within South Asia, the knowledge was completely different, done differently. If I go back to outcomes, knowledge was supposed to be based on outcomes. But we started grading the knowledge. That has happened. I remember the education system of the West borrowed from the Indian education system in the past. And one of the borrowing was that many education in Indian education system was the output was not classified into ABCD, it's an output. This is what you are. Still exists in certain education systems, particularly Islamic education system, which I didn't study. But when you see a Maulana, he's a Maulana. There is no first-class Maulana, there is no third-class Maulana, based on a perfect outcome that it has to be exactly at one level. So the delivery of outcome was there. That was the design. Not only that, that education system, as I say, that means of achieving national integration, but standard, as we impose most stronger standards, there are minimum changes can be done as a result. It cannot cope up with this fast-changing demand for education. Completely changing. Everywhere people are asking for changes. And it deviates from the global race. That's one of the difficulties South Asia is facing. So we started falling reduction in terms of the look, the different race, the way we calculate it, the way we measure it, we are deviating from there. As I say, innovation has become very minimal. And we don't have much of a homegrown knowledge. That's one of the fundamental difficulties. As a result, what we do in the class, and that is, we actually teach from the book, and students understand this education has only one thing for me, entry to the job market. So they are no longer using this education for any other purpose, rather than as a step to go into the job market. And institutions, some of them have become degree mills, use words used by few people I've seen, basically means just create as many degrees as you want. So in Bangladesh, for example, 80% of the undergraduate studies are all business studies, almost, private education. So everyone is studying only one discipline, and they're all in one form. Not even a lot of diversity exists among business schools. So it's becoming one box. And everyone wants just a recognized certificate rather than anything else. That has been the result of a very standard national. Some of the other issues resulted from the whole education, this is my understanding, I may be wrong, it is righteousness, problem-solving issues totally absent from the education system. Society has significant problems, nobody discussing in the education system, within the higher education, I mean. So there is no discussion on this. Education fails to improve society. If you look at the percentage of crimes, hatred, dishonesty, probably more among the educated group started becoming a major issue that is we are asking. Moreover, demand for education skill labor globally changes. National curriculums could not give the professional guarantees of the standards, and that has created a gap. National demand, and this is all across, I'm giving you, has changed so much so that within the same country, we have a foreign MBA and a local MBA, foreign MBA more valuable than local MBA. So discrimination within the society started because we fell apart from the global race. We see in the job market. So if you look at the new education, what people want, lots of different types of need has emerged in our, from my experience I have seen. Some people just want to become high achievers. They're the genius. They want to race to the Mars, everywhere they want to go. They are genius people in every society they exist. Some people just to increase their dignity and honor. They want a degree. That's all they're looking for. That is another group within the society. Some people want to join the global job market. Some wants the family prestige. Some contribute, some wants to contribute to the knowledge creation. Some want to solve difficult problems of the society. Some want professional ethics in some areas. Everyone is looking for different things. Very high degree of specialization somebody wants. That's what they want to go. Someone wants knowledge which allow him innovation, new discoveries. And some people, and this is becoming more important, they want lifelong education. Education starting point does not end anymore. It continuously goes because of the changing nature of the job market. So given this, and if I now go back and look at the literacy rate in South Asia, and we talked about it, the demographic dividends, what we see that structural shift in supply of students. Significant number of students are coming from rural areas. Urban and rural is divided quite clear. And demand for higher education in future, particularly in this century, will tremendously grow because in already enrollment in Bangladesh is 92%, which means in another 15 years' time, the huge number of students are coming for university. Right now, I give you one statistic, about 700,000 students are passing every year school leavers in Bangladesh. And universities, 1:80 for public universities admission applicants. Due to higher completion rates at high school, as I mentioned, that is going to increase. This is going to be one national goal in the secondary and higher secondary education, that completion rate has to improve. Previously, our target was enrollment. Now the target is have to complete. More students must complete this education. So as completion rate is going to increase, there will be significant growth in demand, and we all know it. Job markets, and that is something this morning I'm pleased to see some discussion, is going to be more unstable. It is no longer going to be one job for life. So people will start a job and then switch jobs. Many people will start switching jobs. When they want to switch jobs, they need certain education. And I'll come back on this. Expansion of education in the software areas, other software areas coming. If somebody wants a degree in leadership, somebody wants a degree in counter-terrorism. I'm just giving examples so that we understand the knowledge is going somewhere else which is not covered within the standard discipline that we are used to in South Asia. Corporate security, degrees in certain, these are no longer diplomas and vocations. People want degrees. Why? Because otherwise they stay at the bottom. So they want to go up in the ladder, and that's what they're looking for. Music, graphic designs, even aid strategy, international negotiations, these are all at the moment we see a lot of people in Bangladesh experienced, but nobody has been trained. And this is something new demand is coming. So just to give you an idea that these are the demands coming. The demands are also coming because, as I mentioned, retraining needs. Lots of people are going to switch jobs from one to the other. And every time they switch job, they need a new training, new learning, something we have to deliver. And if we leave it outside the higher education system, it will be difficult for them to cope with. So that's the new demand coming. They also want, and it's been discussed, flexible timing. In other words, they don't want to continue with at a stretch 4 years, 5 years. They want to study at their own pace. I remember meeting one lady. She finished her half of her undergraduate studies at the age of 23. At the age of 40, she went back to the university in Canada. And university says, fine. Because as long as you cope with the new standards, why should I ask you to forget the old one? So they can do it. I'll give you another example, the way people are giving education. I know two individuals, and these are interesting examples, that is impossible in South Asia, but possible in, particularly in Europe, and this is a British example. These two fellow I knew, they studied in Islamic education. One went to Al-Azhar, finished his Islamic degree, another went to India, where is this place? Devon, finished it. But then, these students were doing it because parents wanted it. End of the day, both of them says, no, I want to do my stuff. Now, this is the difference between South Asia and them. Both of them, one of them decided to become a doctor. Went back to England because he's British citizen, Bangladesh origin. Went back to England and said, I want to study medicine. Now on earth, if you go back to South Asia, people start laughing.
The British education system told them, all you have to do, look at the four courses in O level and two courses in A level, just finish them. Don't have to get the full degree. Give us a break. So he did it. He got his now finishing his last year medical students in King's College. It's possible because that's how the flexibility has been created. The other one wanted to become a pharmacist. And then he went back to the university, again did the same thing, and went back and finished. Now he's a pharmacist. So I'm giving you the flexibility of education has started developing, and in South Asia we have created the other way around. We have stopped everyone's movement and said, this is your study, you finish at that. That is something I'm urging people to think. Not only that, education becoming multidisciplinary but less integrated. What I mean by this, that I want to study on my own. I want to study economics, but I want to study music also. So yes, multidisciplinary exists, but where is the flexibility of this education? It does not exist in South Asia. And South Asia has to think carefully in terms of that. Some people want a stepwise education. I want to finish because a lot of poorer people are coming to the higher education. They cannot continue to pay, particularly in the private sector. Even government university has become costly nowadays because the tuition fees are going up just like the business system is coming. So they cannot continue for 4 years, 4 years at a stretch. I know one student, very interesting, it's already some of them exist. This one student, his father died at the age of when he was in grade 12. Brilliant student. Nobody is supposed to pay, cannot pay. So his uncle, maternal uncle says, if you go to a diploma in technical college, I can pay for it. He finished it, became first in diploma. And then his uncle says, that's it, end of the day. Because I cannot push you any further. He started his job, now there is the advantage in engineering, diploma can be converted into BSc engineering. So he worked and he continued. So given this kind of stepwise progression in education has to be there, it should not stop that if I finish 1 year of my education, I'm gone. I get another student of mine, we have seen, this student was for disciplinary ground expelled when she finished 100 credits of 102 credits. 120 credits required, she finished 100 credits and she was expelled. Most of our teachers say why. We wanted disciplinary punishment for unfair means, but why you expel a girl at that or student at the 100 credits? Then the disciplinary committee's answer was no, zero tolerance. Our question as a teacher was, it's not an issue of you're giving a death penalty. 100 credits done, this student, once she is done with this, she has no degree. She goes back to HSC level. The educational system cannot take her up, and that's the end of her life. So I'm giving you this stepwise education becomes much more important, which I will come back to. So these are issues that we have to think carefully. The flexible courseware I've already mentioned, there is no reason to say exactly these courses you have to study, because people come from different backgrounds and they cannot cope the same subjects. So the flexibility of courseware has to be designed and allowed by the institution in future. Otherwise, we'll be pushing the privileged group up, and the less privileged will get away from the system. So that is where we should think about carefully. As I mentioned already, flexible length of study should be very important. And we also want education for global recognition, and I'll come back on this issue a little bit later. So if I look at the complex needs that has arisen, particularly in the last century, what you see that we need to changes in the designing of the curriculum, both discipline and their mix. That is one of the issues that we should tackle and we should think carefully how to deal with it. We need a delivery mechanism, and there are three changes required, not just one or two. Time is one, where when you deliver, places is another one, but assessment system also needs a significant change. Quality assurance needs to be, standard should be there. I'm not against standard, but it has to be flexible enough to accommodate all the diversities. And delivery mechanism, not only national, regional, global. Now as students, and this has happened in many countries, particularly distance education is a perfect example, where many countries have looked into it.
Now, it's not distance education. There is a new word coming. Distance education has used to be without teachers. Now, face-to-face distance, now it is person-to-person. And this can be done using internet. Individual-to-individual education is possible. So, it's a different way of thinking about it, and this requires. The new education, as I mentioned, it also needs a change in the quality assurance. My own suggestion, and that is something that I have learned, that we need to cross-recognize degrees. Europe has done it. If you look at the UK standard of education, EU standard of education synchronized. But this synchronization does not exist in South Asia. This synchronization should be done. We should cross-recognize degrees and try to understand that this is how we should do it. Again, not as a standard, rigid standard, but a flexible standard should be there. New education, as a result, with all these changes, all size fits all. That formula does not exist in education. We have to think carefully. Different people want different way to learn, and we have to allow that to happen. The other thing that becomes a new one, this is the negotiation that WTO is happening right now. In December, probably mode 4, this is movement of natural persons, this is going to start. If WTO negotiates successfully, the latest I can imagine is 2016 January, which basically means that countries who are linked globally, where investment goes, skill manpower transfer will become easier. And it will happen differently. The way WTO rules works, that less developed countries will get immediate opportunity to transfer their skill manpower. Developing countries will get also the same thing. But between developed and developing countries, it will take another 5 years. And after 10 years, it will come from developed to developing countries. So WTO negotiations happen. In other words, we have a 10-year window to this. But once it starts, the question will be, there will be new barriers. The barriers, and they are discussing at the moment immigration barriers. But the barriers will not be immigration, it will be standard barriers. They will say, you have a degree, I have a degree, but we don't know each other. So how do I create a regional standards within this, and this is a very important one. So cross-recognition or creating either a global standard or a professional standard becomes an issue. Important issue. CA, for example, chartered accountants have done it with certain degrees, but others need to think carefully. So we require education system to internationalize and require cross-border recognition of higher education. That is a very important one if we want to, if we realize that not only that the future education will be within, future degrees, jobs will be in Asia, but there will be a lot of movement of people. And that has to be allowed, and education needs to think carefully between this. So given this, I think the new standards of education, new normals of higher education in South Asia should focus on global and regional needs, not to stay above the national needs, and that should look carefully between them, should focus on cross-recognition of each other, should focus on how to create flexible standards. What I mean flexible standard, very good example, few examples. One example is the levels that higher education system in UK has done. So you create a degree and they are put into a level, level 1 to level 8. Creating standards so that one can easily cross it, not by degree, by name, but giving a levels is easier and flexible standard rather than by named cross recognition. Similarly, Americans have done it with credit hours, but they have divided their credits into core credits, GED credits, open credits. They did not define the courses within that, allow universities to diversify, challenge each other, instead of making exactly this course has to be done, but created the link, these are the courses can be done, and this is the American have done it. And create a knowledge of building blocks through certificates, diplomas, and degrees, which means every year of your study should result in something. So that in third year, if you are out of the education, either because of marriage or because of parents' death, it should not be lost. That has to be created within the educational system. So, we have to allow, not only that, we need also lifelong learning. The principle of delivery of education has to be, and that should be our idea, that if we should deliver education throughout his life, wherever he is, whenever he wants it. The last one, I think in this case, and I think the one this, in the middle one discussed already, that private, public, and professional recognition, understanding should be there, and it's already discussed in last session. And the last one is very important. It's like experiences. Remember the starting point of knowledge. Experiences converts into knowledge. South Asia have a lot of experiences. We are not converting them into knowledge. Many people, veteran people, completed their life Only when one, let's say, international negotiations, quite a lot of people exist within the society who have done their work. A lot of people who have worked in media professions. How do I recognize their knowledge? Where is the source? And we have not thought about it. So if I look carefully, my own understanding that we should look higher education completely differently, make it more flexible, more open. At the same time, goal is different for different individuals. There are rich and poor. There are backward communities and there are very urbanized communities. There are groups with diversified needs, someone just a degree, and we have to deliver them all. Otherwise, somebody else will deliver from outside the region. Thank you very much. This is the last part. This is what I looked at knowledge. Coming back to Bangladesh. If you look at the Bangladesh map, fantastic three rivers Bangladesh. But if you look at any one point, you see how much braided the river is. So the knowledge has become so much braided now. We don't know part of it. It's coming back, going forward, meeting again, and becoming knowledge. So that transformation of knowledge should be great. Thank you.
Thank you, Nawal. A very rich case study, and certainly a very educational for me. If you look back in history, there was a knowledge went from east to west, and in a way now coming from west back to east, and the east was.